Then I don't know what happened. You see, Ivan was gone. You see, I don't use historical dates because I want to keep my memory, that of a child, completely clear of any other influence, because the more you learn about history and dates, you incorporate it, and then your own memory gets tainted by it. I just remember that they were gone, Ivan was gone, and my mother came to see me, and she says, I think Daddy's coming home tonight. And she dressed me, and she washed me, and did my hair, and she got all dressed up, and we went to the local station, because there were people coming back from the camps, apparently. And we had a picture of my father, which we held up when the train came in, and we waited for all the people who came off the train, and my daddy wasn't there, so my mother and I went home crying. We did this several nights, and the people who came off the trains looked terrible. They scared me. They were shuffling, and they were bent over, and they had no hair. You couldn't tell if they were men or women. They were in rags. They were ghosts. They were shuffling, scary ghosts. And my mother took them home to our house, and she would bathe them and give them clothes, her clothes if they were women, and men's clothes if they were men. And they would tell stories, and I would hide behind the sofa because I wasn't supposed to hear this. And they were telling us horrible, horrible stories about what happened to them and what happened to their families. It was heartbreaking, but, you know, and very scary, because it was horrible. There was one young girl who my mother brought home, and she had a big tattoo on her chest, and it said field whore on it in German. So basically they would take some of these beautiful young girls and turn them out into the battlefields for the soldiers to use, and then they would kill them when they were used up. And this girl escaped and joined the partisans somewhere. And she had this huge tattoo, and my mother made her a dress that would cover that. I remember her very distinctly. And one of the times when we went to the train, one of the last times, a man came off the train, came up to my mother and said to her, don't wait for him, he's not coming back. And she says, well, who are you? And he says, don't you remember me? You and your husband used to come and play cards at my casino every Saturday night. He's not coming back. He's dead. I saw him. So she says, what? He was ill? What happened? She says, never mind. He's not coming back. He died. And she brought this poor man home to us. And he had been the owner of this huge hotel casino. He was also a musician. He was a violinist. And his hands were crippled because when the guards found out he was a violinist, they broke all his fingers and they never set it. So he had hands like claws. I was scared of him at that point. He looked terrible. And he had a wife and a little daughter. And when they got to Auschwitz, on the train, the wife and the daughter were sent to one side and he was sent to the other. And he said to the guard, well, where are they going? What's happening to them? And the guard pointed to a chimney and said, up there. He didn't understand at that point. And her name was Dita, Judith, short for Judith, Dita. She was 11 years old, lovely little girl. I didn't know her personally. She used to play the piano and she was a dancer. She wanted to be an actress when she grew up, and she was a happy little girl. And she died in the gas chamber. And I think of her often because I have a photograph of her. And when I speak in schools, I show it to the kids because they relate better to a child. And I explain to them that this little girl, once I'm dead, nobody will remember her because there won't be anyone to remember her. And one of the classes decided to make that a project, an eighth grade project, and they printed 500 copies of her photograph with her story on the back, and they sent it to 500 middle schools. And the project is Remember Dita. And I still get letters from schools all over. I got a letter from a school, an American school in Guam, saying, we're not going to let Dita die again by forgetting her. I was very touched by that. And then this poor man went to see his family's housekeeper where they left everything. And he knocked on her door and she opened the door wearing his wife's dress and looked at him and says, ah, so they didn't kill all of you. Anyway, the Russians took everything and she slammed the door in his face. And he came back to my mother and he kind of stayed. And out of two broken families, we cobbled together one. He became my stepfather. And, you know, I always felt guilty because I took Dita's dad, Dita's life. Somehow it wasn't fair that I had all that and she didn't, because she was dead and here I am alive and her father is my father. And I think about her a lot.